Good morning, and if you have your Bibles, I want to preach this morning. I guess you could call it a Christmas message, but you know, Christmas, Latin for Christ Mass. Okay, we're not Catholics, all right? We gather around the truth of the Word of God every single time we're here in this building, and we reflect upon the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ every single time we preach. Is there a particular time of year that is where we can only talk about the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ? No. Every time we preach the gospel, which the gospel is included in every message every week, we are considering the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And how was he born into the world? Was he the product of Joseph and Mary? No. He was miraculously born by the Lord speaking him into the womb of Mary. And so I want to reflect a little bit upon the virgin birth of our Lord Jesus Christ this morning. And it's appropriate to go back this time of year and take a look at it. Because without the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, we wouldn't have a Savior. Okay, I'm going to explain why here in a little bit. The world likes to, they've turned Christmas into a pagan holiday. I would not ever want to spoil the festivities for kids. And I love the Christmas season too. It's kind of a time to set back and relax a little bit, reflect upon the blessings that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, and get together with family. And I like to have a nice lengthy family prayer prior to eating on Christmas Day and speak about our Lord Jesus Christ a little bit. But so much Christmas is a commercial venture in the day in which we live. You know, if you don't have 1,000 presents under the tree, you're not doing it right, apparently. You know where the tree came from, don't you? So in Germany a long time ago, let's back this up a little bit. Then I'll explain the German version. Our Lord Jesus Christ was placed upon the cross of Calvary. Scripture says, cursed is everyone who hangeth upon a tree. All right, so our Lord Jesus Christ was cursed for you and me. But in him was what? No sin at all. Okay? So he was not a rightful recipient of the curse, yet he gave himself willingly for us. All right? So he is our gift upon the tree. Our Lord Jesus Christ is a gift to us because without the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have no inheritance in heaven. We're dead in our sins. And if we're dead in our sins, then we're going to be cast into hell. So because of the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ and the action that he took upon the cross of Calvary, shedding his blood for us, and because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin, we have a heavenly inheritance. Now, the life of the flesh is where? It's in the blood. What kind of blood do we have coursing through, or I should put it this way, whose blood do we have coursing through our veins naturally? Yes. The blood of Christ? No. We have the blood of Adam. Okay? Adam ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which plunged him into a state of sin. He was actually made his own little god. So was Eve. And man's been functioning based upon that ever since he ate from that tree. Why has man been doing that? Because in Adam what? In Adam all die. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ said an interesting thing before he was being placed on the cross. He said, no man takes my life from me. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. That means that there was no person that was going to put him to death. He was willingly going to lay his life down as a sacrifice for sin. But also, what man takes our life from us? Our father Adam. So the effect of Adam would not be laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He's separate from Adam because he was born of a virgin. Now people say, oh, why does that mean anything? Well, the life of the flesh is in the blood, okay? And Adam's blood courses through each and every one of us, and it's a scientific fact that we get all of our blood types from our fathers, okay? Our mother's blood never, the mother's blood never becomes the child's blood. So whatever blood type the mother has, the child may have a different blood type. The child is always going to have the blood type of their father, okay? Because in Adam, that's why the scripture can say, in Adam all die. And also, God has made of what? One blood, all the families of the earth. That's Adam's blood. So if he can say, in Adam all die, he can rightly and justly say, in Christ, all shall be made alive. And I'll explain that. So it's a medical fact that I have my father Adam's blood coursing through me, and therefore I gained the nature of my father Adam. What nature did he have after eating of the tree? A nature to sin. All right? So I'm counted guilty of Adam's sin because I have his blood in my veins. So it's as good as me being there. And I also have a nature to disobey God because I've been made my own little God. That's my natural existence because of the blood of Adam. Okay? And so, because that was what was promised to Eve when she ate of the tree. You shall be like the gods, which really was the Godhead, Elohim, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Okay? So you can make your own decisions about what is right, and what is wrong. So they gained, Adam and Eve, gained a moral sense apart from God. Okay? So where do we get our moral sense from? It's not from God the Father. We get our moral sense from the one that caused the fall. So we are actually, in actuality, more like the one who caused the fall, the devil, than we are like the one that redeems us, the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? So I want to read here in Galatians chapter 4, if you want to turn there with me. I could quote the verse, but it's important for us to look at them with our own eyes, too, sometimes while I read them. So here in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Okay, what does made of a woman mean? Well, he wasn't made of a man. He was made of a woman. That speaks of his virgin birth. Okay? If our Lord Jesus Christ was brought into the world through copulation between Joseph and Mary, then he would have the nature of his father Joseph, and he would be a sinner and could not be our kinsman redeemer. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the theanthropic, he's the God-man. He's both deity and human at the same time. Okay? So because of his attachment or dissension from Mary, and because God the Father spoke him to into the womb of Mary, God is his father, Mary is his mother. So he's both God and man at the same time. Because he's deity, there's no sin in him at all. The offering that was to be made, all right, after the Egyptians or the Jews were to be exodus from Egypt, they were to make an offering to represent the Lord Jesus Christ, a bloody sacrifice. Without the shedding of blood is what? No remission or no payment can be made without the shedding of blood. Okay, the lamb was supposed to be examined to be without what? Be without spot and without blemish. That speaks of the sinless nature of our Lord Jesus Christ, or the sinless nature of God. Who is Jesus Christ? Because the world is very confused about who Jesus Christ is sometimes. Even much of Christianity is confused about who Jesus Christ is. I'm not saying they're biblical believing Christians, because typically they aren't, because there's many sects of Christianity that are completely off base. You know, they've gone way off the reservation concerning the truth. Okay? Jesus Christ was not a prophet that came along to show us how to live so we can please God. Jesus Christ is God. He's God incarnate. Okay? So God came into the world in his first advent. This is why, as it says over in 1 John chapter 3, we need to make a proper confession of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you make a proper confession of the Lord Jesus Christ? You must believe that he is, okay? And he's the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Who is he? He's the Lord Jesus Christ that came in his first advent. Or we have to believe, like it says over there, about what he did in his first advent. He came as God of gods, okay, but not yet Lord of lords. That's going to be in his second advent, okay? You guys playing baseball over there? anyway, so our Lord Jesus Christ was brought into the world, made a man, but couldn't have the same blood type as all the other men upon the earth and women upon the earth. His blood type came from God. So he was sinless, okay? But yet he was human, so he's related to us all. This is why our Lord could be our what's called kinsman redeemer. He's of near kin to each and every one of us. He's related to us. Okay? And we're going to see his family lineage over here in Matthew here in a little bit, which is important. We're going to do a whole lot of begatting here in a minute. begatting. That's correct. So, because he came into the world to fulfill the law for us, because no man could, only God could, and he is God, and then die as a vicarious or substitutionary sacrifice for sin, he's the only person that could be our kinsman redeemer. If he had any sin in him whatsoever, this is why it makes me so upset when the world says that, oh, he had a love relationship with one of the Marys, and he did this, and he did that. I found some sin of that he committed here in the Bible somewhere. You know, I'm not saying I did, but some idiot preacher out there says that. And they want to make the Lord Jesus Christ all, fully human or just a prophet. Well, if you're going to justify yourself by the life that you live, you better think about things a little bit, and from this moment forward, actually, you got to find a time machine, okay? Because you got to go back to the moment you were conceived, and from that very moment, not make any sinful mistakes at all until the day that you die. That's the only way that you're going to be accepted of God by the life that you live. You have to be as perfect as God in heaven is perfect. Clearly, if we look at ourselves with any kind of objective view, we are none of that. Far from. So we had to have a sacrifice made for us. Now, it says here in verse 4, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman," speaks of the virgin birth, "made under the law," he was a Jew, and the Jews were placed under the covenant of law, "to redeem," or to pay for, "them that were under the law." Why? Because nobody could keep it, okay? "That we might receive the adoption of sons," or become inheritors of the kingdom of heaven. Really, co-heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now turn to Matthew chapter 1. Nobody likes reading Matthew chapter 1 because they don't understand what it means. We're going to read the whole chapter, okay? Verse 1, "The book of the generation of Jesus Christ," this is important. This is not just, this is how Jesus came in, this is his family. Everything here means something. This is going to point out the reason for his virgin birth here in a second. "The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David," the son of Abraham. In his second advent, he's going to come as Lord of lords and King of kings and rule upon the throne of David with a rod of iron. Okay, or he's going to establish a permanent rule upon the earth. Okay? And he did not do that in his first advent because he came as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world in his first advent. All right? So the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, out of the tribe of Judah, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob. Hi, Pastor Andre. And Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. And Judas begat Phares and Zara of Tamar, who was, by the way, a harlot. So there were multiple harlots in our Lord Jesus Christ's family lineage, bloodline. And Phares begot Ursam, and Ursam begot Aram, and Aram begot Aminadab, and Aminadab begot Nasan, and Nasan begot Salmon, and Salmon begot Boaz. It says booze, but it's Boaz, okay? Of Rachab, that's Rachel. She was a harlot also, okay? And Boaz begot Obed of Ruth, and Obed begot Jesse. And Jesse begot David, the king. So that's King David, of whose throne our Lord Jesus Christ is going to reign on for the ceaseless ages of eternity. It's on top of your computer there, Pastor Andre. And David, the king Solomon, begat Solomon, the heir that had been the wife of Uriah. Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. I was looking at Pastor Andre when I was trying to read that. Who was that? That was Bathsheba. Okay? And Solomon begot Rehoboam, and Rehoboam begot Abiah, and Abiah begot Asa, and Asa begot Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat, I've always wanted to name one of my kids that if I had another kid, and Jehoshaphat begot Jerome, and Jerome begot Uzziah, and Uzziah begot Jotham, and Jotham begot Achaz, and it's a rough reading there, Achaz begot Ezekiah, and Ezekiah begot Manasseh, and Manasseh begot Amon, and Amon begot Josiah, and Josiah begot Jeconiah. Okay? And we need to learn a little something about Jeconiah. In the book of Jeremiah, Jeconiah is Coniah, or Coniah. There was a rough breathing with the H in Hebrew. He was cursed because of unbelief. So was the tribe of Judah. Okay? After that, they went into captivity, which all speaks of what happens to us when we disobey the truth of the Word of God. It's like, what is the law to us? Well, if we attempt to keep the law, we're in captivity to the law, because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So all these things are typographical. Okay, they're types, illustrations. So Jeconiah was cursed. What was his curse? No one or none of his seed would reign upon the throne of David. Well, we got a problem here, because we're looking at the lineage of our Lord Jesus Christ and how he is one day going to be the rightful heir to the throne of David. So how do we get around that? Our Lord Jesus Christ shows us how. So, and then they were carried away into Babylon, and after that they were brought to Babylon, Jeconiah, or Coniah, begot Salathiel, and Salathiel begot Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel begot Abuid, and Abuid begot Eliakim, and Eliakim begot Azor, and Azor begot Sadok, and Sadok begot Achim, and Achim begot Eliad, and Eliad begot Eleazar, and Eleazar begot Matan, that's how you'd pronounce it, I think, and Matan begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, who was born of Jesus. Okay, so what happened here? We have a transition from the male seed to the female seed. Now, I want to go back to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter, let's see here, chapter 3. All right, Genesis chapter 3. We have the sin. Well, let's read it. We'll start in verse 6. And Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, this is all that's in the world and the condition that man's in after the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, she took the fruit thereof and did eat it, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open. Open to what? They were now their own gods. They could dictate in their own conscience what was right and what was wrong. Prior to this, they operated according to the counsel of God. Adam walked in the cool of the day with the Lord. What do you suppose they were fellowshipping about? Whatever the Lord wanted to fellowship about. But he was clearly fellowshipping with him in the truth, because the Lord is the truth. So now they're going to operate according to a way which, as we see over in Proverbs, a way which seemeth right unto a man. All right? We can do this and we can do that. This is good and this is bad. It's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What are all the religions of the world based upon in the day in which we live? And everything, every religion, ever since the eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, based upon whatever's sense of morality is within each and one of those, each and every one of those religions. And so, how many religions are there upon the earth? Oh, they say there's, you know, plus or minus 4,000, but really there's as many religions upon the earth as there are people practicing them. Because everybody's got a little bit of a different idea of what they like and what they don't like within those religions. Okay? What does that equate to? Everyone's their own little god. All right? So based upon the counsel of the one that caused the fall, man thinks he's going to get back into the presence of the one that told them to operate in truth. So how are you supposed to get back into the good graces of God, who can only accept that which is true, by being false or being in opposition to God? Well, you can't. Whatsoever is not of faith is what? Sin. That's why the new covenant is their sins and iniquities will I remember against them no more. We had to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ to pull us out of the conundrum we got in when Adam ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay? So, this is why Christians love to legalize. You know, I was listening to a pastor who every now and then I get online, I try to listen to a podcast from various Baptist preachers around the country, and I try to find someone who's very sound and fundamental, which is, I have yet to find someone very sound and fundamental in the day in which we live. And the guy was going along great, and he was actually talking about the sin of Adam and how it plunged the entire human family into sin, and this and that and the other thing. And when he came about to the Lord Jesus Christ, he did the same mistake they all make. Now that we've accepted Christ as our Savior, now we can be changed in our life to be like God. And God will accept that when we enter into his presence. So he had the opportunity to preach the gospel, but yet he preached exactly what he was preaching against, which came from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that we can make ourselves fit for God's presence by the life that we live through the example of Jesus Christ. That's false. Why? Because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. There's none righteous, not even one. Our Lord had to be righteous in our stead. And so he died. He fulfilled the law in our stead, and he died in our stead. That means he fulfilled the law we couldn't fulfill. And then he paid the price for our sin upon the cross of Calvary. So that's why God can say, by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's cleansed us from all sin. Okay? So, the eyes of them both were opened. Opened to what? To a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof, or the end of all these ways, and there can be millions of them, is what? Death. This is why I say, as the scripture says, in Adam, what? All die. And our Lord Jesus Christ, when he said, no man takes my life from me, I have the power to lay it down, I have the power to take it up again, he was actually saying two things. He was saying, I offered myself as a sacrifice for mankind, but he was also saying, the sin of Adam will not cause my death. No man, or the sin of Adam would not cause him to die. The sin of Adam causes all us to die. But it had no effect on our Lord Jesus Christ because he was virgin born. So the fact that he was our Redeemer necessitates his virgin birth, or else he'd be just, he would need a Savior just like you and I if he was born of Joseph. Okay? So we read here in verse 7, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Why did the Lord put it in here, include it in the scriptures, that they sewed fig leaves together?
Shame.
They were ashamed of what they become. They were conscious of their sin. All right? Of course, we'll see the gospel preached to them, and they express faith and believe, and they're accepted in the beloved afterwards. But the covering of the fig leaves represents our feeble attempts at trying to fulfill the law. How good are we going to do at it? Well, very far from perfect. Some of us do, you know, some of us live more calmly lives than others. But if we committed one sin, how many have we committed according to the Lord? We've committed all of them. Because if we're going to be perfect, or if we're going to please God, we've got to be absolutely perfect 100% of the time. So it doesn't matter how much sin you commit. If you've committed one, you've committed them all. If you've committed none, the blood of Adam is in your veins. So therefore, you're going to be counted guilty of eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's original sin, okay, doctrinally speaking, all right? So we're in a fix. We need someone to step in. So we have our Lord Jesus Christ, who was our vicarious sacrifice for sin, substitutionary sacrifice. What did he substitute out of the way? He took our life out of the way and included his life. And then he paid for the price, paid the price for our sins on the cross and blotted them out with his blood that he shed for us. And the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses all of our sins for the ceaseless ages of eternity. Okay? So they tried to cover their nakedness, which represents their new nature, okay, by putting fig leaves on. And, you know, leaves are, you know, if they're nice and green and big and thick, they can be tough for a few minutes. But, if you've got a leaf shirt and you try to put a backpack on or hug your wife or go to sleep or roll around, I mean, you better be absolutely perfect at all times or else those leaves are going to get all crumpled and rip and fall off your body. Not to mention the drying out part. And, you know, kids love to, we used to, in the fall, pile up gigantic piles of leaves in the street and then try to ride our bikes through them. And they kind of give way and they're pliable and they're light. I remember one time we were going to make just an absolute mountain. And my cousin was going to start on this hill and go down as fast as possible to try and blow through the pile of leaves. You know, like, who was that Daredevil guy?
Evil.
No, not Evil Knievel, but Dave, Super Dave. Super Dave, yeah. Super Dave Osborne, that's right, yeah. Super Dave, who was the guy that was with him? I can't remember his little buddy. I'm probably dumber for watching that show. This is why I can't remember it. Anyway. So he went up on the hill, and he rode his bike down as fast as possible, but the pile was too big, and so he immediately, his head slammed against his handlebars, broke his teeth out, and the leaves won. Let's put it that way. But dry leaves are crispy, and you can just pull them apart with no effort whatsoever. All right. So how effective is our moral covering? You can pull it apart with no effort whatsoever. God can see right through it. All right. So it was ineffective, unacceptable. So, verse 9, the Lord God called unto Adam and said, unto him, where art thou? This is like me. I was called into the grace of God. Was I aware prior to my salvation and yours that we were being called into the grace of God prior to being saved? No, but God was calling us. You know, when you found God, from your perspective, it seems like you found him. From God's perspective, he was calling you. Okay? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden and was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. All right? So what was foremost on my mind the day I was saved? I knew exactly what I was. I was a sinner. I've recalled frequently my prayer to you guys about when I was, you know, particularly upset about things that I did. I'd say, Lord, you know, at night or in the shower or whatever, Lord, please forgive me this last time. I promise I won't do the thing that I promised not to do last time. Again, one more time, you know. And so I was always, like a mantra, praying to God that he'd cleanse me of my sins. I knew what I was. Okay, so I had consciousness of my nature. And he said, who told thee, verse 11, that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. All right? it's been posed that this is the woman's fault. In what mindset did Adam eat of the tree? Willingly. Because what? He loved his wife, and he knew that if he would not eat of the tree and his wife did, she would have to be condemned and cast into hell, and he would have to be accepted of God. All right? So he willingly gave himself for his wife that he may be with her, knowing God would provide a covering. That's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's exactly what our Lord Jesus Christ did for his bride. Who is our Lord Jesus Christ's bride? We, the church, are the bride of Christ. The church is the ecclesia, or the called out assembly of God. Jews and Gentiles, from Adam to the last man that's going to be saved, we are all the bride of Christ. And our Lord Jesus Christ gave of himself that we might have eternal redemption with him. Okay? Verse 13, and the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, or deceived me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go. So apparently the serpent had the capability of walking, or some like thing, prior to being on his belly, like we see him today. And dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Who is the seed of the serpent? How are we born into the world? We're all born into the world how? Dead and trespasses and in sin. Because we have the blood of Adam coursing through our veins. So we have the nature of our fallen father, Adam. Okay? Now, it is said of men that, like for instance, this may sound weird in the day in which we live, Noah is my seed. Okay? He came from my loins, so to speak. These are old terms, but they provide a definition of family lines. Now, we always explain them from man to man, male heir to male heir to male heir. We don't typically explain them from female heir to male heir. But where did our Lord Jesus Christ come? From Joseph or from Mary? Out of Mary. She was spoken into the womb of Mary, miraculously, by a virgin birth. Our Lord Jesus Christ was born. Who was his father? God was his father. So he could be the theanthropic man, the God-man, Christ Jesus. Holy man and holy God, therefore by his deity, he was sinless. In him was no sin at all. So he had the power to fulfill the law as a Jew. He was made under the law. That's what that means. He fulfilled it perfectly. Every jot and tittle was fulfilled. He said, I've come not to destroy the law, but to fulfill. Not one jot or one tittle shall pass from the law till what? All of it be fulfilled. Okay? And so every single portion of the law, the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled perfectly. Why did he do it? So that we might have eternal redemption. He then gave us his righteousness. He's our kinsman redeemer. Now, the humanity portion of him allows him to do this. So he gave himself as an offering upon the cross in his deity, but in his humanity, he was able to be a Jew under the law and therefore be the only man that ever fulfilled the law. So he stood in our stead in life and stood in our stead in death, and in him we have redemption. Okay, so we see the virgin birth here between the seed of the serpent and her seed, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, it shall bruise thy head. Okay? If I club you over the head with a baseball bat, what's going to happen? I mean, I'm talking about a nice whack over the top of your head with a baseball bat. Do you suppose you're just going to say, ow, like in the movies, and get back up and punch me in the face? No, you're going to collapse upon the ground in a pool of blood, and you're going to die because I just crushed your brain. Okay? It's a death blow. So this speaks, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to supply a death blow to the work of the devil. What is the work of the devil? Sin in the world, sin and unbelief. We're all born how? Dead in trespasses and sin. We need to be made alive in God. In Adam all die, in Christ all shall be made alive. And so the work of the devil is going to do what? Let's read it again. So, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Okay, if I take that same bat and whack you in the foot, are you going to die or are you going to just be hobbling around for a little bit? You're going to be hobbling around for a little bit. Okay, it's not a death blow. It's an injury, but it's not a death blow. So our Lord Jesus Christ was injured for us. He said, no man takes my life from me. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it up again. So he bowed his head and dismissed his spirit. And then he caused himself after the third day and third night to arise from the dead. And he promised all that believe in him by faith that Because I live, you shall live also. So our Lord Jesus Christ had to suffer for us. And the suffering of the cross was not the bludgeoning. We go back to the I think 34th chapter or 35th chapter of the book of Proverbs. I can't remember exactly where it is right now. And we can see what our Lord Jesus Christ looked like when he was being beaten. He was not recognizable as being a human being. That's how bad he was beaten prior to being put on the cross. And the crown of thorns, you know, everybody says, oh, that was the real suffering, was the crown of thorns. Nobody wants to have a blackberry bush on their head. When they put a crown of thorns on you, it was a mocking crown, and they would take these very long briar thorned, I can't remember what the name of the bush is, I used to know, but they jam it into your skull and just compress it down so it's stuck into your skull by those thorns being pushed into your flesh. Okay, so after being beaten beyond human recognition, he had the thorn pounded into his head, and then he would have to carry his cross up to Golgotha, being beaten all the way, and the nails were driven through his, it wasn't through his hand, it was likely through his wrist right here, okay, to leave him upon the cross that he might hang upon the cross so that he could die by exposure. But he didn't die by exposure. All those things were the bodily sufferings he had to take upon himself, not to mention the persecutions. And you think about it this way, the Lord of Lords, God of gods, was judged for sin. Talk about a contradiction of sinners. But the real suffering on the cross was when he took upon your sin and my sin as if it was his own. Turn to Colossians chapter 2. All right, Colossians chapter 2, we read in verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you. This means carry you away in the Greek. Carry you away from what? Well, what are we studying here? The truth of the Word of God. The devil wants to carry you away from the truth by confusing you with the lie of the devil, which was put in the world through the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that you can make yourself fit for God's presence by the life that you live based upon your own determination or your own godlike nature that you got from the evil tree, okay? Through philosophy, that's how it's done, philosophical reasonings of man. Somehow they're going to trump God? I don't think so, okay? And vain or implausible deceit after the traditions of men, that's what the nation of Israel was guilty of, they honor me with their lips, but what? Their heart's far from me. They say, Jesus, or excuse me, Messiah this, Messiah that, God this, God that, Elohim this, Elohim that, but they didn't know who Jesus Christ was when he appeared within their midst. Okay. After the rudiments, or the rules and the regulations of the world, where did those come from? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And not after who? The truth, the Lord Jesus Christ. For in him, that is in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. When you're looking at the Lord Jesus Christ, when you're raised, glorified, and adopted in your glorified body, and you view God, you're going to be viewing the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's God in a body. Okay. And you are what? Complete in him. If you're complete, there's nothing more to gain. We have a full inheritance. Why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, has cleansed us from all sin. You're dead, and your life is hid where? With Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. All right? You're complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, that is, the cutting off of the flesh, or that idea that we can make ourselves fit for God's presence by the life that we live. We put that away. In the putting off of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, or the cutting off of the Lord Jesus Christ. Without his sacrifice for me, I'd have no inheritance. We're buried with him in baptism. When Christ died, you died. When Christ was buried, you were buried. When Christ arose from the dead, you what? You arose from the dead with him to walk out in a newness of life. That newness of life is the just shall live by law? No, the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith. So where do we put the law as a believer in Jesus Christ? Do we try to keep it? Well, we can try. We can respect it all we want. I do. I respect the law. It's good and right and holy. But like I always say, I respect it. I try to do the best I can. But since I'm an agent of sin, that means I'm going to sin. So when I sin, the recognition that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses me from all sin has to be present. Okay? That's where we stand. We're not preaching license, as so many say we do. What Paul said about those that say that, their damnation is just. They don't understand the truth. They're not in the truth if they say that. So their damnation is just. So I'm not saying go out and be as naughty as you possibly can be, but be honest with yourself. Have you ever gone out and just been as naughty as you can be? Or been a little too naughty maybe one night or two? You know, we all have the nature to sin within us. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, because when we look at ourselves, we see an agent of sin. But when he shall appear, then we shall be like him. Okay, so we'll see him in our raised and glorified bodies, and they're going to be made like unto his glorified body, and then the nature to sin is going to be thrown off at that point in time. That's when we actually receive our heavenly inheritance, but not yet. Okay, so when I sin, which I inevitably am going to do, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, does what? Cleanses me from all sin. It's a continual cleansing. It has to be. Because guess what? I sinned yesterday. If I haven't sinned already, I'm going to sin today. I had another one of those weird dreams last night that I won't tell you about. So the blood of Christ had to be applied last night while I was sleeping when I didn't even, you know, wasn't even conscious. I need a continual cleansing because I continually am an agent of sin until I'm changed, until I'm raised, glorified, and adopted. Okay? Until my heavenly inheritance is brought about. So we're buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him, Christ, from the dead. Remember, because he lives, you shall live also. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he hath quickened or made alive together with him, having forgiven you how many trespasses? A double hockey sticks, as we used to say. It was A-L-L, two hockey sticks. All trespasses. All of them. Past, present, and future. Okay? There is no such thing as progressive sanctification. As you live your life and you get older, do you like maybe run to a lesser degree of riot than you formerly ran to? Yeah, kind of, sort of. A lot of that is growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What did our Lord tell us to do? Avail ourselves of the truth. Pray. Give. Operate in the gift that we were given. All these things are spiritual works. Okay? When we don't avail of ourselves of these things, whatsoever is not of faith is what? Is sin. That's riotous living. So as we grow as believers, we're supposed to, because of the word of God that increases within us and the faith that increases within us, do less of that. So that's what Peter was talking about. Believers may, key word, run to a lesser degree of riot than we formerly ran to. Now, that does not mean progressive sanctification, as so many Pentecostal pastors have tried to pin to that verse. It doesn't work. How could I possibly become God? Just think about the stupidity in that. That is an idiot doctrine. I can be like the sinless God. All I have to do is take an objective look at myself and see that I'm a pusillanimous worm compared to the righteousness that's in God. We all are. And so, just because we run to a lesser degree of riot doesn't mean that we're becoming sinless. We still require the cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on a daily basis. All right, so verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, or abrogating the law, putting it out of the way. Why? Because the solution of to the law, or the consequences of the law, really, has been brought about, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, which was contrary to us. Now, what was contrary to us? The law. The problem with the law is not the law. The problem with the law is you and me. Okay? So it's contrary to us. And took it out of the way, doing what? Where did all of our sins go? They were pinned upon the cross. With who? With our Lord Jesus Christ, as if he committed all of them himself. The price had to be paid for him. Could you or I possibly pay that price? No, we're sinners. But because of Jesus Christ's virgin birth, being the God-man, he is both deity and human, okay? He was able to fulfill the law in his deity and offer himself as a sacrifice, as a kinsman redeemer upon the cross in his humanity. And so in Christ, we have life. So he nailed them to his cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, the work of the devil, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of a new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Now, so as we go along through life, are we going to sin? Yes. Yes. We can just simply recognize it, do the best we can, if it's within us, to live peaceably amongst men. Okay? There is such a thing as a comeliness of life so that people aren't detracted from us. You know, we want to be attractive to people so they might come hear the gospel. So if I get up here in the pulpit and I've got like a cottage cheese stain right here in my beard and I got a stinky shirt on and like I, you know, use a bunch of swear words all the time and I'm completely off-putting, is anybody going to want to listen to me? No. So that's why Paul says, try to, as much as is within you, live peaceably amongst all men. So we might be able to witness the truth of the word of God, because men are easily offended. Okay? It's taking the nature that we understand the world is in and availing ourselves to them so that we might witness the truth of the word of God to them. Now, if Jesus Christ wasn't born of a virgin, he couldn't possibly do any of this. He would need a savior himself. Okay? So, going back over to Matthew. All right, got about a minute. Okay, so chapter 1, verse 14. And Azor begat Sadok, and Sadok begat Achim. It's a rough breathing, Achim. And Achim begat Eliad, and Eliad begat Eleazar, and Eleazar begat Matan, and Matan begat Jacob. And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Now, in this lineage, Jesus Christ really wasn't in the lineage of David. He was in the lineage of Coniah, Jeconiah. And there was a curse placed upon him that said that no one within his line would sit upon the throne of David. And then they were carried away into Babylon. But that curse was broken through the virgin birth. So the curse that was placed, this is a representative ministry, the curse that was placed upon mankind because of unbelief that was brought into mankind through Adam, so that now we are all cursed by the bloodline of Adam. Now, because of the virgin birth, God can supplant the blood of Adam with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which does what? Cleanses us from all sin. So going forward, who is called the Christ or the anointed? Okay, in Hebrew, he's called the Messiah. And when he came around, the Jews said, crucify him, crucify him. But so did the Romans, so that makes the Gentiles guilty too. So all generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations, and from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Now bear with me here. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit. Our Lord Jesus Christ was spoken by God the Father into the womb of Mary, okay, prior to their marriage. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example because, you know, they hadn't been married yet, and if she comes up with a baby bump, so to speak, people are going to start whispering, okay, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, Yeshua, for he shall save his people from their sins by offering himself as a vicarious sacrifice for sin. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken of by the Lord of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. That was what was the, Jesus Christ is the personification of the representative ministry of the tabernacle in the wilderness and later the temple wilderness, or the temple ministry. The tabernacle in the wilderness, if you break down all its constituent parts, represents what? God dwelling with man It requires God dwelling with man and standing in his stead for us to be justified before God the Father. So, which being interpreted as God with us, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and he knew her not till he had brought forth her son, firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Okay? And so, this kind of negates the idea that the Catholic Church put forth that they pray to the Virgin Mary. She didn't remain a virgin. Our Lord Jesus Christ had brethren, okay? But our Lord Jesus Christ was brought into the world. God was his father, not Joseph, so he didn't have the curse that was placed upon man through Adam. No man takes my life from me, okay? Mary was his mother, so he could have both the humanity of mankind. He's not far from any of us. He's related to us all, yet he be God. He has the deity because he was born of God himself. He was miraculously spoken into the womb of Mary. So he's the theanthropic God. He's the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. He stood in our stead in life, stood in our stead in death. And we have redemption in him because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And God is just in declaring all these things. This is what we celebrate really every day, not just the Christmas season. Our Lord wasn't born in December. He was born around the time of lambing. But we're going to talk a little bit about that next week if we have time. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your love, for your mercy, and for your grace. We thank you for the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's God. He's the one that we're going to see when we're raised, glorified, and adopted. We look forward to that day, Lord. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.